Pleasant good evening and welcome to our continuing coverage of the Major League Baseball postseason here on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. And we are getting you set for Game 5 of the World Series. It has come down to this. The World Series is now a best of three affair. The San Francisco Giants and the Kansas City Royals are tied 2 games each in the best of seven. The Giants have the leg up because the best pitcher in the postseason so far is on the hill for them tonight. But after tonight, the Kansas City Royals have the next 2 games at their place. And it's not exactly a foregone conclusion that tonight the Giants will win simply because Madison Bumgarner is on the mound. Though, boy, has he ever been good. ERA under 2 so far in this postseason. James Shields will answer for the Kansas City Royals. James Shields in this postseason, boy, has he ever not been good. An ERA over 7 for the Royals' ace. Change in the lineup for the Kansas Cities, and it's not something that Ned Yost does a lot. He used the exact same starting lineup in the exact same order in each of the first 8 games of the postseason. Each of the first 10 games, pardon me, of the postseason. Right? Just making sure I'm not lying. Each of the first 10 games of the postseason. But then without the DH, when they moved into San Francisco, Yost had to move things around, and he moved things around a lot, dropping Norichka Aoki out of the lineup, moving Alex Gordon up to the 2 spot, Mike Moustakas up to 5. The changes continue today against the left-hander Madison Bumgarner. Salvador Perez has moved up in the lineup to the 5 hole. He had been hitting 7th almost the entire postseason. Moustakas moves back down to 6th, and the top 3 remain Alex Gordon in between Alcides Escobar and Lorenzo Cain. The regular righty lineup going for the Giants with James Shields on the hill. They didn't have a hard time with Shields in the opener of the World Series. Hunter Pence with a 2-run homer and a 3-run first inning. Shields wound up getting just 9 outs and allowing 5 runs on 7 hits in what was a 7-1 win for the San Francisco Giants. The Royals won Game 2 and Game 3. The Giants won Game 4, and here we are, a 2-2 tie, and we will have the entirety of Game 5, as well as Game 6, and if it happens, Game 7. For your listening pleasure here on the Sportsnet Radio Network, it is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. A different Blue Jay comes to join us every day, and today it will be Josh Tolley, who is Blue Jay's backup catcher, personal catcher for R.A. Dickey, and a guy who leads, one would think, a pretty interesting existence in the fact that his ability to catch the knuckleball has been huge just in having him in the major leagues, period. And R.A. Dickey's comfort level with him has also been a pretty massive. Tolley was at one point the New York Mets' young catcher of the future, and was included with R.A. Dickey in the deal that brought the knuckleballer here to Toronto. In a couple of years with the Blue Jays, he has not really distinguished himself offensively. He's been a solid receiver, a decent backstop, and more importantly, a real stand-up guy in the clubhouse. And one of the reasons, probably the major reason, I wanted to have him as one of our Blue Jays a day, Josh Tolley, a very reliable guy, someone who you could always talk to and would give you a really good take on pretty much anything. No, it's very, very interesting to see the game through the eyes of a backup catcher. He's the guy who's just sitting there taking everything in, and in some cases, the case of a guy like Tolley, who really only plays every 5th day, he gets to sit back and see a lot of things. In 2 years with the Blue Jays, he's hit .213 with a .289 on base and a .261 slugging percentage for a .550 OPS, which is an OPS plus of 55, which means he's offensively about 55% of your average player. Played 102 games over the course of his 2 years here, and pretty much just exclusively acting as the personal catcher for R.A. Dickey. There is an option on his contract for 2015. The Blue Jays signed him to a 2+1 deal prior to the 2013 season. I believe. I was pretty sure about that. Well, we can check with him. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance 1-888-666-0590. Regardless of whether the Blue Jays have an option, I could have sworn they did. They sell control totally for another 3 seasons if they want him. He is arbitration eligible for the first time this year. And in 2014, he was paid $1.25 million. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Giants and the Royals are tied 2-2 in the World Series. It's the Blue Jay Day pregame show. Josh Tolley's with us, taking your calls next. It is the Sportsnet Radio Network. Baseball Control in Toronto. Mike Wilner here with you. It is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show as we get you set for Game 5 of the World Series. And it is the San Francisco Giants, and it is the Kansas City Royals. It is the last game this year that will be played in San Francisco. We are guaranteed one more day of baseball after today, one more evening of baseball. We are not guaranteed anything more than that, but we might. It would be kind of cool if we had a 7-game World Series. It's been a while since we've had a 7-game World Series. Thinking back, and I'm going to do some research because I like to look stuff up, but I can't remember one. I don't know, since Angels Giants? Oh, except for that St. Louis Texas one in 2011. But yeah, Angels Giants was the last one before that back in 2002. So if they can get to a game 7, it'll only be the second World Series to go 7 in a decade. And you go all the way back to 2003 when the Marlins beat the Yankees, and this would be the 11th World Series since then, and of those 11 World Series, it's only the fourth that's going to even make it to a Game 6. And it's been a terrific World Series so far. It's been a terrific postseason so far, even though we haven't had a lot of series or any series go to the limit. I don't know that that's taken that much excitement away. And it's very interesting that we can have sweeps and we can see series, a best of 7, wrap up in 5 games and still be tense, tight, and exciting pretty much the whole way through. The phone lines are open. It is the Blue Jay A Day pregame show. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Dial us up. Josh Tolley is with us, Blue Jays catcher, here to take your call this evening and also spend some time with all of us across this country. And Josh, thanks so much for joining us. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
It is a pleasure, sir. How's your off season going?
It's been fabulous. Just getting a new home, getting settled in the new house here, and waiting number 3. So the baby should be here anytime. So it'll be it's packed right now.
We've already got 2, so there's no advice I can offer you. I only know from 2, and I generally tell people who are waiting for their 2nd that 2 is way more than 1 more than 1. So I can't imagine what 3 is going to be like compared to 2.
So Somebody just said it doesn't matter after two. So he said, if you're going to have three, you might as well have seven. I said, no chance.
Well, the problem is that you're going to be outnumbered now.
Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's the whole traveling and, you know, doing things with the kids. It's you almost need an extra hand because you can play man-to-man right now.
That's right.
But you get the third one that starts walking, and then it's big problems.
Well, with Josh Tolley, well, we hope, obviously, everything goes well, and it's a wonderful time for you and the family, and that's a terrific little gift to start off an off season. So with all this busy stuff, have you managed to pay much attention to the postseason at all?
Yeah, I've caught bits and pieces of the games. I've been watching more hockey though, but such a Canadian answer.
You're just pandering now.
I've had a chance to catch a little bit of it, and it seems like it's been pretty good for the most part.
Yeah, it's been close. It's been tight. It's been exciting. And the Kansas City Royals, who nobody expected to, you know, with the Giants, they were also the road team, or they were the road team in the wild card game. The Royals were the home team in a wild card game. But it seems like Kansas City is just so much more surprising because you've got that Giants team that's been in the World Series twice in 4 years prior to this one. But nobody saw this coming from Kansas City at all.
Yeah, I think I could agree with you, and I think it goes with saying a little bit. Anything can happen in this game. It's a strange game, and you get some timely hits and catch some pitching when your pitching's hot. It just takes off, and I think watching the back end of the bullpen, except for the other night, I think they've been just phenomenal. So, you know, a starter gets you into the sixth, seventh inning, you know, the game's over. You got the lead, and I think that's kind of what you've been seeing a little bit.
Yeah, zero question about that. Game three, they got four no-hit innings out of that bullpen, and the trio of Greg Holland, Wade Davis, and Kelvin Herrera, I believe, has given up a grand total of one run so far in the entire postseason, and they've pitched in almost every game. It's been incredible.
Yeah.
You know, when people talk about the Royals and the way they play, I mean, for me, it's been more about that bullpen than anything else. When you can cut it to a six-inning game, you're going to beat pretty much everybody. But the Royals have only stolen, looks like, one base since the end of the division series against the Angels. I was going to say this is a team that will give a catcher fits, and I think preparing for them, it probably does. But take us behind the plate. If you're facing a team that's got Escobar and Kane and Dyson and Terrence Gore off the bench and all these guys who can just absolutely fly around the bases, what are you doing other than really, really calling a lot of fastballs?
Well, I mean, I think you know, aside from it's the postseason, you know, it's like you can't just keep throwing fastballs. I think that, you know, there's other ways to do it, and I think you're seeing San Francisco do a great job of it as far as, you know, changing up their times to the plate, holding the ball, you know, picking over a couple times in a row just to kind of disrupt the timing over there. I'm at first base, you know, there's nothing worse. I'm the last thing from a base dealer, but you get out there and you have a pitcher that is holding the ball, pick over, hold the ball, you know, for, you know, 2, 3, 4 seconds. Next thing you know, they're uncomfortable. They don't know what to do. And then quick pitch, certain things that, you know, you can do and that you see San Francisco doing to shut down the running game, and they're doing a great job of it.
Yeah, and Madison Bumgarner as well tonight does a phenomenal job holding on runners, and you don't even have a chance. Now, I understand you're being modest when you say you're not much of a base stealer, and it's true, you're not much of a base stealer, but you were a 50-50 base stealer before this year, at least, and this year you just kept getting hung out to dry on missed hit and runs. It wasn't your fault.
Yeah, I mean, I was looking for something to bounce or something. I mean, anything, like, yeah, it was a tough year on the bases for me. But I tell you, that's not it's a bad feeling when you see the end of the year stat line and Navarro's got more stolen bases than me. And that's I tell you, I take that personal.
Yeah, I can imagine. He did have more opportunities than you, a lot more times at bat. But yeah, He outstole you 3-0. And I was going to say, it's got to be hard for you to be sitting in the dugout watching a pitcher go out and pinch run, but at least you can say to yourself, no, I'm way more important. I'm the backup catcher. You know, if something happens, I got to go in there. They can't waste me pinch running.
That's what I always said. I said, you got to save the best for last. That's why they're running the pitchers in there.
Exactly. we're with Josh Tolley. Do you have a horse in this race, by the way? I mean, you started your career in the National League with the Mets. You've been an American leaguer far less than you were coming through that organization, playing in the big leagues with them. Are there guys in this World Series that you're pulling for on a personal level? Is there a team you'd like to see win?
No, I mean, I don't, not necessarily. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where, you know, I watch it just kind of to watch it and see, but I tell you to see, you know, for Kratzy to have a chance to do this, be in the World Series and stuff like that, I think that's that's a pretty cool thing and a pretty cool experience. And you know, as far as anybody else there, he's about the only guy that I know, on a man to man basis. And I think it would be cool. You know, you don't get these opportunities all the time, and you know, to see him come out of it with a ring, I think would be pretty awesome.
That's terrific, especially to hear from a guy who we all thought three catcher system, it's tough for you guys to all get along with each other and pull for each other, but we never saw anything other than that when you and Navarro and Eric Kratz were all here together.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's the big leagues. You know, you're in it to win it, and if you're in it for anything other than that, you might as well just pack them up, because you know, this is the time that you want to play, and no matter what it takes, whether it's you or somebody else to have that chance and get the big hit or do the thing. I mean, you know, Gibby does a great job of giving guys, you know, giving them a chance to succeed. So if it's a tough lefty and it was, you know, pinch hit Kratz, that's just how it is. That's how it should be, because at the end of the day, you're trying to get the W and get to the postseason.
We're with Josh Tolley, Blue Jays catcher, and the phone lines are open. It's a Blue Jay A Day pregame show before Game 5 of the World Series. 416-870-0590, *590, and long distance is 1-888-666-0590 if you want to give us a call and say hello to Josh Tolley. And you're right, Josh, obviously. It's all about the W's, and the Blue Jays missed by 5 of having enough of those to get to the postseason. It was a disappointing year for all concerned. I mean, even when, you know, sometimes I think about it and nobody expected you guys to do anything going into this season. I talked to people in spring training and they said I was nuts for suggesting you're not going to finish last in the division. There were some national people south of the border. I don't think anybody picked the Blue Jays for anywhere but 4th and 5th. And so you hope that when that happens, you get kind of a bit of a boost. But I think the way the season played out, had it gone backwards, had May been August and you missed the playoffs by 3 or 4 games, I think people would have felt a lot better about the way this season went down.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think an old saying in this game is, you know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But, you know, and that's what people remember. People remember, you know, how you end it and stuff like that. But if you go back and you look at it, you know, the May that we had, that was about as amazing of a month as I can imagine anybody's ever had in the major leagues, number one. And number two, you lose the middle of your lineup, you know, for a month. You hit a skid. You know, when things don't fall into place, that's kind of part of it, part of being, in the major leagues as a team. But that's kind of how it goes. You know, you just hope you can get over that hump quick, especially you get a couple injuries and stuff like that. But it makes it tough, that's for sure. Like I said, because this is the time of the year that you want to be playing, and it's and we're not, so it makes it tough.
And you know, you bring up injuries, and we talked to DeMarlo Hale yesterday. He brought him up as well, losing the middle of your order for 6 weeks, all at the same time, Adam Lind, Edwin Encarnacion, and and Brett Laurie. And a lot of people have said, well, you know what, but the Orioles didn't have Matt Wieters and they didn't have Manny Machado. And I look at that, and I look at the Orioles, and I see that, yeah, Wieters missed almost the whole year. Machado missed some pretty big spots. But Nick Markakis, Adam Jones, and Nelson Cruz combined to miss, I believe, a total of four games between the three of them before the Orioles clinched the AL East. And having that middle of your order together, and Jones and Cruz were the 3-4, Markakis led off a lot, hit two a lot, hit five a lot. Having that middle of your order together all season long really does help a team a ton.
Absolutely. It really does. It changes everything. Come September, we're still in it, right? And it's and then Melky goes down, and then it's like the timing of things that can take the wind out of you, especially if you're not playing well, makes it tough. But like I said, those are things that as a team you need to overcome, because you, if that happens again next year, you know, we got to figure out a way to move past it and have somebody step in big.
Yeah, and it unfortunately didn't happen this year. A three-game lead on the wild card on August 1st, and the Blue Jays wind up falling again five games short of that second wild card spot in the American League. We're with Josh Toley, and a lot of people kind of want to put themselves in the clubhouse, think they know what's going on. I have always been of the mind that you guys will only show us what you're willing to show us, and what happens in that hour and a half before the game when the room is closed, and those 10 minutes after before reporters are allowed to get in there, is a lot more telling than any face that any athlete puts on while the reporters are in the room. So can you tell us, I mean, was there, just plainly, I guess, what was that clubhouse like this year?
I thought the guys, I can honestly say, I think the way the guys came together this year, we pretty much had the same team for 2 years. It's different. You know, you get guys, going back 2 years ago, you get guys that haven't played together, don't really know each other that well yet. It takes some time to, like, and I say time, I'm not talking like a month or two. Like it takes much more time to be comfortable with somebody, know how the guy next to you plays, know certain things you can do on a personal level, how you can talk to a guy. And I think after the season we had 2 years ago, coming into spring training, guys were much more comfortable with each other. And then with that being said, and then throughout the course of the season, the way, some of the guys that were supposed to lead, they led us, and they kept guys in check, held guys accountable, which is important. And I don't, that is something that I think was a big part of, that we did. I mean, we did have a great May, and when we struggled, the guys that were supposed to get us out of the funk, they did. They did what they were supposed to do, and I think that was with having a year of experience with each other, played much more, much more important than what a couple years ago.
That's fair enough. With Josh Toley, and just before we take a quick break, you mentioned getting to know each other, and you've been joined pretty much at the hip, or at least 60 feet 6 inches away from R.A. Dickey since before he won the Cy Young Award in 2012. And he is he's a different guy. And by different, I don't mean bad. I mean just as far as quote-unquote jock culture goes, fitting into a clubhouse with a lot of these pro athletes, he's a different kind of guy. And I'm just wondering how that differentness that's often seen in a that sort of big-time macho professional athlete environment, that's anything different is seen as weird and we don't want to have anything to do with them. How does that go over R.A. Dickey in with the rest of the Blue Jays?
Well, I mean, I can just say from my experience with him. I mean, if you look at it, at the end of the day, the guy is going to be 40 soon, you know, in a couple of years or whatever. It's one of those things. You're right. Like it doesn't fit the jock mold, I guess, if you will. I think you said that right. But at the end of the day, he comes in, gets his work done, pulling for the guys. That's, you know, when it's his day to pitch, he goes out there and he gives it his all. And I think that's something that, you know, there's nothing more that you can ask of somebody, whether you like to hang with the boys or whatever. I mean, there's so many personalities in this game. You could go on the list forever. But, you know, being winning the Cy Young, I get how the limelight is there for him. But as far as a teammate and how he's respected me, I think it's been something that, you know, if I have issues, we talk about it man to man, you know, anything. I think he was, you know, he is quiet. He just does his own thing. You go on the road, you don't see him around in the hotel and out for breakfast or whatever. He just kind of does his own thing. And I think that's something that is, that's who he is and that's who he's always been.
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. I think that a lot of times anything that's seen as other is kind of, I don't know, looked strangely at. And I don't know that the Blue Jays do that. I just think that it's an interesting sort of component to what goes on with the team. And like you said, also the fact that, and I had totally forgotten about that aspect of it, the fact that he's 40. Sets him apart from everybody else as well, because we think of Mark Burley as this wizened old veteran and he just turned 35. So the age gap is huge in there. There are 21-year-olds on this team.
Absolutely. You go back and you look at it and there's, I mean, I don't have a name off the top of my head, but you know, there's coaches that break into the big leagues when they're 40.
Yep.
As a hitting coach, a pitching coach, a bullpen coach, and they're 40. You know what I mean? And he's still a player, RA. So I think that's something that, you know, and it's different. You know, you have a family. You got four kids. You got grown kids. It's like, I think it's just different for him than it is everybody else almost. I mean, I'm 28, you know, it's like, oh, I'll be 28, but it's like, it's almost like he's, you know, that much older. 10 years older is a lot. You know, he's been to the minor league so much and then has had the major league career, you know, been in baseball for 20 years or whatever. I think it's crazy.
Yeah. And you know, you talk about coaches, Chad Mottola last year was your hitting coach, 42 years old, just 3 years older than RA. And that's, it's a whole other, a whole other sort of perspective on that. We got to step away for a second, but we will have more Josh Tolley on the other side with your calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jay A Day pregame show continues with Josh Tolley on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
The Blue Jay A Day pregame show. I'm Mike Wilner. We're getting you set for Game 5 of the World Series, or Game 1 of the best of 3, whatever you want to call it. The San Francisco Giants and the Kansas City Royals. The series is tied 2 games each. It is a best of 3 today in San Francisco. Then they take a day off to travel. And Game 6 will be Tuesday night in Kansas City, and we will have another Blue Jay A Day pregame show for you, but we haven't got our guest confirmed. As soon as we do, we will let you know. Today, our guest is Josh Tolley, Blue Jays catcher, and the phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance is 1-888-666-0590. You want to call in and say hi to Josh Tolley. And Josh, as far as his pitching matchup is concerned, you've never faced Madison Bumgarner. You faced James Shields three times, so it's not like you're intimately familiar with either one of them. I'm sure you'd rather face the righty, although you did hit almost 300 against lefties this year. I mean, it seems like there's a clear advantage to the Giants the way Bumgarner's been pitching, but maybe are you surprised at how much trouble Shields has had so far in this postseason with that ERA over 7?
Yeah, it is shocking, especially as good as he's been all year. But you know, that's kind of, it goes back to it. It's kind of how the game is. You know, you could be hot, you could be cold, and anything can happen on a given night. There's no question. But I think from a competitive standpoint, it's almost, you go back and you say, man, he's due. You know, he's due to have one of the games that everybody knows what he's capable of doing. But I think if you go back and you look at how good Bumgarner's been and the confidence I'm sure he's bringing in tonight, I think is going to be, I would say probably right now his clear advantage, if you will.
Yeah, it seems like it. Ryan Vogelsong, by the way, pitched last night, and the Giants have won every one of his 7 postseason starts, which is a National League record to begin a career. Even though he didn't make it out of the third inning, they've still won each of his last 7 starts. He's a guy that you have handled awfully well over the course of your career. You're hitting a 500 against him. Don't know if you knew that.
He's a sinker baller, I'm sure.
Right, where you like him.
I don't know. I don't know what my numbers are off him, but sometimes that's how it goes. You get comfortable, you see a guy well, and you get hits. I mean, there's other guys. There's other guys that you feel like you go back to the dugout and go, man, how am I getting out time after time off of this guy? But, some guys, you just see something differently.
Let me ask you this then. Off the top of your head, can you think of a pitcher whose number you really have? Or, yeah, just let's do it that way. If you go back in your Rolodex of all the guys that you've faced over the course of your career, Who's a guy who you feel like you really get a good look at? Because I know who it is.
I feel like guys that can say that have 50, 60, 70 at bats off of somebody. But just in my short career, I would have to say two guys stand out. Aaron Harang is one guy, and I have to be honest, one guy that I've had success just getting hits. I'm not going to say what they were, but I've had plenty. I've had some hits off him was Doc when he was in Philadelphia. I don't know what it was, but anytime there was nobody on base, I was getting a hit. Man gets to first base, you can book it. It was going to turn into a double play. I don't know what that was, if he was just, giving me the get me over fastball or what with nobody on. But I do have a few hits off of Doc.
Yeah, you're 8-for-12 lifetime against Aaron Harang, 9-for-19, or pardon me, 8-for-19. Against Roy Halladay. That's a .421 batting average against Doc. And he only struck out twice in 19 trips. That's really, really impressive.
I'm not going to say how many of those Winfield hits, balls that squeak by the second baseman or that he has to, in the hole he has to dive for. But a hit's a hit at that point, especially off of him.
I got to tell you, too, there are only 3 guys that you faced in your career more than 20 times, and you hit them all really well, actually. You're hitting, I think he's done now, Tommy Hansen. You hit .393 against him in 29 plate appearances, .304 against Kyle Kendrick in 23 plate appearances, and .294 against Bud Norris in 20. So the guys you faced the most are the guys against, and Halliday's next on that list, and then Jordan Zimmermann, who you hit .353 against. So the guys you've faced the most, you really have done awfully, awfully well against.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the recipe is, but I think you get a little history off a guy, and pitchers do the same things. I mean, they Yeah, they might tweak their repertoire here and there, but for the most part, they attack you the same. I can imagine the book on me is the same throughout the league. So that's something that is, you just try, have some good history off a guy. You want to keep it rolling. I think that's something as a hitter that is you feel proud of.
And 3-for-4 lifetime against Brad Lidge. We cannot ignore that. One of the all-time great closers. Well done, sir.
Like I said, I have no idea what it is.
Well, with Josh Tolley, and people want to talk to you, so let's get to the phones. Jesse is in Vaughan. Jesse, say hello to Josh Tolley.
Hey, Josh and Mike. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling,
how are you,
sir.
Jesse?
I want to ask you, Josh, how your first experience catching Dickie went. I also want to ask you, what type of glove do you use for a knuckleball pitcher? Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right, thank you too. My experience.
First time you caught Dickie.
It was in front of the ownership with the Mets in spring training, and we had just signed RA, and it was one of those things I wanted to kind of get my foot in the door because I had a feeling we were both going to start in the minor leagues together, so I wanted to be a little familiar with him, and it did not go as I planned, and I'm surprised they gave me a second shot at it. It was tough. I came out with a couple battle wounds, bruises on the arm, and whatnot. But needless to say, spent many of days after that just catching him, trying to get comfortable with it. And then, secondly, the glove I use is Rawlings. The model is called a Pro Spark. So it's women's softball catcher's mitt, similar to that, if you will. It's it's a little bit bigger and much less padding, but I definitely need something a little bit bigger to catch it.
It seems, when I look at it, it's almost like a first baseman's glove.
Yeah, it is similar. So it has more padding than a first baseman's glove, and it's shaped just a little bit different, but that would be a good comparison.
It really is kind of cool, and of course RA has to travel with a glove that someone can use to catch because wherever he goes, you can't expect the guy to have that. And there's zero chance that anyone who throws left-handed will ever catch RA Dickey in his life. Greg in Markham, hey Greg.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Say hi to Josh Tolley.
Hey Josh, congrats on your new one.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, yeah, Greg. I appreciate it. It'll be here soon.
No worries. Well, quick question. I heard you mention before you're talking about Ari Dickey and his longevity in the league. Looking at the young pitchers from this season, are there any of them that you think would be around, or if you could say pick one or two that you think might be around 20 years from now, who do you think that might be? Yeah. And I'll just wait for your answer.
All right. Take care. Have a good night, Greg. I would say, in my opinion, and just getting to know the guy, a guy that stands out, obviously anything can happen in this game. But I think the way Marcus Stroman, watching this guy prepare, watching him, in between his starts, how he does things, how he goes about his business, I think he is definitely one guy that is, knock on wood, stay healthy, but I think could do it. It would be a tough task, I suppose, but like I said, the way he prepares and the way he goes about his business, I think is important, and that's how you do it. That's how you stay in this game for such a long time.
That's interesting because I think a lot of people would say, he's 5'8", and there's no chance he lasts, even though he really did show us a lot. I would have thought that the answer might have been a guy like Aaron Sanchez, who kind of has that more Doc-ic stature out there on the mound.
Yeah, and I think, he too could be another guy. I mean, but like I said, I had a chance to get very close with Stro, and just, hearing him talk, hearing him, watching him go about his business, talk about the game, I think that stuff is important. And like I said, not to, not to say Sanchez would not be able to do it, because he too, I feel would be very capable of it, because he does. He's He's got the pitcher body, that's for sure. The long length and good mechanics. That's something that I do think he would be a good candidate. But like I said, I just think that how close I got to Stroman this year was I was able to have good conversation, pick his brain, stuff like that.
Yeah, and he is. We had him on before Game 2 of the World Series on our Blue Jay a Day pregame show. Very, very impressive young man. There's no question about that. Let's go out to our nation's capital. Ray is in Ottawa listening on 1310. Is it 1310 News, Ray, or is it still Oldies 1310? Where's Ray?
It's an appendage of Rogers, so... I love the baseball. Sometimes we lose the feed, that kind of thing. Don't want to complain to you about that. But I love your work, Mike.
Thank you.
Enjoy it all summer. And, Josh, it's so great to talk to you. You're very well-spoken and very humble, and I think you have the toughest job in sports, and it fascinates me, and I wish I could put you in a brain scan or something because I've got so much to ask you about. I've read R.A. Dickey's book about three times, but watching and hearing the games, it amazes me. Several things amaze me, which I'm sure you can shed light on. How many different speeds does he throw the knuckleball at? He does seem to vary it, as far as I understand, far more than previous knuckleball pitchers. And to what degree are you calling his pitches? And also, how often do you throw in? What guides you to determine how many fastballs to go to mix in with the knucklers? And the other thing is, how does that man avoid walking people so much? It's incredible.
It's a lot of questions there, Josh. I don't even know if I can remember them all, but take a shot.
Yeah, Michael, I'm going to need you to write those down for me. Now, well, first off, Ray, thanks for calling in. And most importantly, just to let you guys know, thinking of you guys up in Ottawa, I know it's... unfortunate what had happened, but we were getting the news and we were following it closely. We do have some friends that live in Ottawa, so definitely thinking of you guys up there. Getting to the questions, I should have had a pen and paper handy, I suppose, huh?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the change of speeds. Are you calling that? Is he calling that? Do you know when it's coming?
No. RA throws the pitches. He changes speeds on his own. We do have a sign. I very, very rarely use it. I can think of one or two times that I would give him the sign for a slower knuckleball or whatnot. But I think that's something that, I let him control his game. That does not screw me up as far as when he throws it. Because we do try to get on the same page before the inning, how we want to pitch guys, how we could finish guys, certain things like that.
What about, calling the game as far as fastballs? And he was throwing a lot more fastballs this year than ever before, but how much of that did you have to do with?
Again, we tried to preset it before the inning. I mean, there's obvious situations, and if I do give him a knuckleball and he were to throw a fastball, that doesn't really disrupt me too much. It would just be the other way around. If I give a fastball and he throws a knuckleball, I think that would be something that I would tell him not to do. He's never done it, but I would say that would make it definitely make it tough on me. But again, like I said, he's such a predominant knuckleball pitcher. 90% of the time is a knuckleball, and that's something that I keep in mind. So certain situations you want to throw a fastball, and not always in obvious situations. And when it's not in an obvious situation, we have pretty much talked about it.
We always wonder from the broadcast booth when you and Pete Walker go out to talk to him, what the heck you could possibly be telling him. Mechanically, it's got to be hard with a guy like that, but. Just from your perspective, sometimes it goes away. And R.A. himself has said many times, the knuckleball is a capricious animal. You never know when it's going to be there, when it's not, and when it's going to come right back. When you see that it has left for whatever, 6 pitches, 10 pitches, 2 pitches, is there anything you can try to do to get him back where he needs to be?
I mean, mechanically, no. I mean, there are certain things, throughout the course of a year that we have talked about. mechanically that we think can help get him back on track. But again, it is a weird entity, that's for sure. I mean, there's times where it's moving so much, I have no chance. And like you said, there's times that it does. It just goes away, and I don't know that comes from like a mechanical thing or whatnot. It could just be the nature of the beast. But I don't really have too many words of wisdom for RA when I go to the mound. Most of the time, it's either to give him a breather or just to break things up for him.
All right, well, Josh, we got to go because we got a ball game, but I could talk to you for hours. I really do appreciate the time and the insight and the graciousness to spend so much time with us. The tradition here on our Blue Jay Day pregame show is to send you off with a note about your season that's going to make you happy, some number about your year that you may not have known. I have two of them for you. First of all, next year you might want to lobby Gibby to lead you off. When you let off an inning this year, you hit 290. So that's a pretty impressive thing right there.
I'm going to keep that in my back pocket.
And the other thing you might want to do is when the count is 1-1 on you, put the ball in play. This year, when you put the ball in play on a 1-1 count, you hit 462. Granted, only 13 times you did it on putting the ball in play on that count, but a 462 batting average is certainly nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, well, 13 times, I'll take my chances. I don't know why you're holding this to me right now, though. At the end of the season, you should have told me this at least in September. Let me crank those, get those batting average points up a little bit.
Seriously. Next year, I'll tell you June 1st, I promise.
Yeah, that sounds great.
All right, thanks a lot for this, Josh. Enjoy the new baby. Enjoy the offseason, and we'll see you in Dunedin.
All right, thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Josh Toley, Blue Jays catcher, just a sensational job right there on our Blue Jay A Day pregame show. We'll have another Blue Jay A Day for you prior to Game 6 of the World Series on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We are going to head to San Francisco awfully soon for Game 5 of the Fall Classic. The Giants and Royals are tied 2 games each. It's the Sportsnet Radio Network.